I started forming a mother figure in my mind, and we all do this. And then more evidence built up over time to make that more true. Until we stop to realize that we have this shadow figure in our minds that's in between us and the person we're looking at, until we realize that, we live as if the person in front of us is the person in our minds, but it's not.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's just an honor and a pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm so excited. I have a long, long time dear, dear friend, like soul sisters here. And I can't wait to have her on the show. She's got another brand new book coming. Well, I guess came out. Yeah, I know. It's already, skyrocketing to number one bestseller on Amazon. And I'm so excited for her because it's just awesome. But let me give you her background so you know who she is. You probably know her. Her name's Carrie Hummingbird, and she's a soul guide and host of the Soul Nectar Show. And she is the number one bestselling author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama. That's been out, couple of years maybe now, and it's still up in those number one charts. You know, it's still amazing. It's a great book. And she is also the award-winning best-selling author of Awaken to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love, which describes her early years and her spiritual awakening. And, you know, this woman, she just inspires everyone to lead their lives wide awake with authenticity, passion, and purpose. And I can't tell you how many times her insights have positively impacted my life. So when her new book came out called Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound, I called her up and said, Carrie, you got to be on the show. And she said, sure thing, Sharon. So welcome, Carrie, honey. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show, Sharon. I always love our conversations. And, you know, it's fun to interview with somebody that you know as well as we know each other. And, you know, all the backstories and all the time we spend in personal growth together, we know each other pretty well. And it's fun to do these conversations when you know somebody so well. It's not like pulling teeth. It's just like natural, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And I also love all the other people I interview, but it's fun to interview with you.
Oh, thank you. I love it too. And congratulations first on another amazing book. Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound is awesome and such a timely topic. Now, I know a little bit about your background, but just describe what pushed you into it? I mean, like sometimes people have epiphanies in the middle of the night or, you know, something, just they hear a phrase or something. Why this book now?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that I love my mom so much, like I always have. And even as a little kid, like I was like my mom's champion, you know, like my mom would be in traffic and she'd be like frustrated in traffic at some driver that's cutting her off. And I'd get out of my seatbelt and stand up and be telling that driver off, like, don't you get on my mom, you know, like 3 years old, get off my mommy's tail, you know, like it's kind of always been that way. So it was like the last place I thought to look when I needed healing in my life. Like it was absolutely the last place I thought to even look. And it only started surfacing for me after I got onto my healing journey. And you've been part with me on a good part of that journey. It's been very tender and precious. And because it's the last place I thought I needed to look, right? It's like, well, no, my mom loves me. You know, like I don't need to look there. That's not the problem. It was all this childhood stuff. It was this early childhood with these dads, you know, that was it. Well, at a certain point, I started realizing, no, there was actually something really deeply profound going on in the dynamic between my mother and I, and in the inner conversation I had inside of myself with the version of my mother I created in my mind, and the and me, the inner child, and all the things that were going on in me. So round about after I published The Second Wave, I'd already been diving into this exploration. I'd been going into it and realizing there was more, there was something going on. And I'd been exploring prompts and things to get myself triggered into seeing things that I didn't want to see maybe. And I'd been exploring this other book that I recommend to people as a really good expose on these patterns. It's called Daughter Detox, and it's by Peg Streep is her name. So I was looking into that, and that was right before I published the Second Wave book. I published the Second Wave book, it, you know, it's doing great, and all of a sudden I get the tap.
the tap.
And now the Second Wave book I published in coordination with a higher aspect of self called White Eagle, which is an ascended master of awakening consciousness. So that book was so easy to publish. It was like, I just sat down, it flowed right out of me. And then I published it in 4 months. Like it was just like, bam, done. So when I got the tap, I was like, oh, okay. It'll be another thing like that. Right. Like it'll be a smooth, easy topic. And then I heard, oh no, you're working with White Buffalo Calf Woman on this book, who, if you haven't heard of her, she's an indigenous ascended master teacher that was presented to the Lakota people in the United States continent. She was one of their teachers. So I was like, okay, great. All of a sudden I had this feeling like this might not be as easy as the other book. And then I heard the topic, Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound. And I thought, oh man, here I'm going to be in for it now. You know, like this is not going to be easy. But it was a year and a half. It was not 4 months. It was a year and a half of deep inner work, which I'd already been doing. I just didn't realize the lens through which I needed to see things. And this book brought that into focus. Like it really brought into focus where I needed to look. Now that I've been exploring this, I see that the mother wound is actually at the root cause of so much of the suffering on the planet. Like most of the ways that we suffer has to do with this mother wound. And it's not to say that your mom was a terrible mom, right? Like I just said, I just confessed, I love my mom. Like it was the last place I looked. And it was such a space of growth because it makes sense when I started thinking about like thousands and thousands of years, we've had patriarchal control and suppression of women, denigration of women, shaming of women, dishonoring of women, control of women. You know, it's like been a painful experience for many generations in everybody's family. So of course, we all have some reflections that need healing in this conversation of the mother wound. So, but it's tender, it's precious. It's the last place you think you're going to look. And there it is.
It's funny that you say that, sweetie, because I'm thinking about a lot of our conversations and a lot of times you would reference a lot of things that you just mentioned here. And then now you're saying it was the last place I was looking. I'm like, wow, it was circling all around you.
It was circling all around me. It was everywhere and I was not seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's how it is for many of us. It's like, like I was, when I met you, I was in the throes of, I was just coming to the idea of skills, not pills, right?
Right, right.
It's like, I'm looking at the place like, okay, where is all my suffering come from? Oh, it's coming from this patriarchal systems. It's coming from pharmaceutical. It's coming from psychotherapy. They're labeling me and shunning me and diagnosing me. And that's why I'm in pain. It's because they're doing this to me. And, you know, and there's some validity to this piece, right? There's some validity that the systems are a little broken and that we're not really capturing holistically the human. So there's pieces of truth, but the journey has to go inside. Like the journey has to go back to our roots, to our creation, right? To where we were created from. And I was on my way there and circling and chewing around the edges, you know, like looking for the source. Like, where's the root? Where's the root? Where's the root? And then it flies up in your face for a moment and then you dismiss it the next. And then it flies up again and then you throw it away. You know,
I think about so many things that you and I have tossed around sort of the phrases, you know, the work's the work. And if you're not doing the work, nothing gets done, right? And I relate this to my healing journey as far as the autoimmune condition goes. is when I got, I'll put in air quotes, surprised by the diagnosis of where the major, all of a sudden the body just fell apart in 2014. When I reflect back, I had so many flashing warning signs and red flags and white flags, everything coming up for years before that, that I would dismiss, or I'd find someone to put a little salve on it here or there and off you'd go, you know? You'd think, okay, got it under control. And if you'd asked me in early 2014, things as simple as nutrition, I said, oh, I eat healthy, you know, I eat a salad, I do this, I do that. Little did I know that some of what I was doing was good, but so much of it was just ignoring or refusing to see or not wanting to go deeper or not even not wanting. It would point of just like not taking the time to answer those little taps that we get, those little messages we get, not taking the time to go, okay, what are you trying to tell me? And keep tapping until I get it, right?
Exactly. And it was a big avoidance. Like that was part of my mother wound as well, was that I would spiritually bypass things. Like I would want to be happy, and I liked my role as the golden child. I liked that spot of being my mother's golden child. And it was comfy and cozy in that spot. It was only whenever I got out of that spot and started expressing my own truth that things got a little, you know, frenetic, and maybe I wasn't the golden child anymore. So I had a big addiction to that. And even as I started speaking my truth and going out and starting to talk about the diagnoses and things like that, none of that focus was on my relationship with my mother at all. It was on me and this diagnosis. And then it started, as I started peeling back the layer of that, I started seeing something else, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm not okay with how this is rolling out. I don't really like the way I'm being spoken of. What if I do have a different opinion? Is it okay for me to express it? Can I be in this relationship and still be myself? Like, am I going to get kicked out? Like, there were a lot of those dynamics that got exposed. And then my dad passed away, right? And so then everything, like, shifted because my dad was no longer, like, holding the universe of my family together. Like, he was like the sun and he just, like, got pulled right out. So we had to come up with a new configuration. In the process of that dismantling, there was so much pain because everything got revealed. So it's, I love the way you're saying, it's like, oh, well, I think I'm doing a good job. I'm handling this okay. But there's pieces that we don't look at because those are the painful pieces. We don't want to face those pieces. But the way to healing is actually deep into those pieces, going into those moments rather than bypassing them.
Or thinking that we're putting a little whitewash paint on the top and calling it good.
Which is another domestication. It's another reflection of the mother wound in women, especially, is that we've been domesticated to, like, I love how my friend Monica Rogers says it, like, put some lipstick on it, you know, put a plant in front of it, yeah, make it look good, tidy it up. It's like we've been taught to tidy it up. But some of this stuff, in order to heal, it has to get messy. Like it has to all, like the guts of it have to spill out all over the floor. And we have to sit in the middle of the stink of it and really feel it and really say, yep, that's exactly how I felt as a child. That's exactly how I felt as a young woman on my journey. That's exactly how I felt when I became a mother. Yes, that's how I felt. And yes, it was hard. And yes, it felt terrible. Then we bring out to the surface the poor me.
I want to talk about that because I don't want people to think that this is the place where you go confront your mother, you call up your mother.
No.
This is not what we're talking about. So let's make sure we just make that kind of that part clear.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that. This is an inner inquiry, you know? Yeah. I'm glad you said that because the way that I finally revealed what was going on underneath in my own psychology through this process of like peeling back the layers and peeling back the layers, watching the dynamics in my family when my dad was gone, all of this process, this was about learning how I had made an idea about who my mother was when I was really small and augmented it over time. So mm-hmm. There was like a persona of my mother in my brain from when I was little. when things were kind of hectic and scary from 0 to 5. And my mom was in a fight or flight space. Like she was in like, let's get this done space. Like I've got to get this thing sorted out because it's a mess, because it was dangerous. It was actually a dangerous space from 0 to 5 for me. In that space, I started forming a mother figure in my mind, and we all do this. And then more evidence built up over time to make that more true. Until we stop to realize that we have this shadow figure in our minds that's in between us and the person we're looking at, until we realize that, we live as if the person in front of us is the person in our minds, but it's not. And we do this vice versa, like with our kids too. It's hard not to do it.
We do it with our friends, with our spouses. We do it with a lot of people. But the mother's been with us from the very first moment, even in the womb. So unfortunately, that's a lot of more layers than the most of the other people in our world have to uncover. And I just wanted to make that clear that it's not about who your mother really is. Years ago, on one of those monumental birthdays, a group of 17 friends got together and so gave me a surprise roast. We went out to have a meal and surprised me. I thought I was going out with just a couple of my girlfriends, and 17 people were there to roast me, including my two children. And they were young adults by then. And it was so funny because here are other people roasting me who've known me either from college days all the way through work days, you know, all these different aspects of my life that my kids knew about but had never seen me function in. And they got such an interesting perspective of who their mother was. And at first, I think it was a little bit surprising and shocking that she wasn't just as one-dimensional. And there was a lot of other things going on besides being mom.
Exactly. And that had to do with whatever the conditions of the relationship when they were born and in your life. And let's face it, like as a mom, I'll just speak from my point of view as a mom. When I had my first child, I definitely thought I had it all together because I'd been in psychotherapy already on the couch for a couple, you know, every single week for several years already, like a decade. So I thought I got my stuff together. I'm like 30. I know what I'm doing. You know, like I'm in a good space to have this child. And then I got pregnant and I was still holding on to my illusion of control. Like I got this all handled. And then that baby showed up. Holy crap, I don't have anything under control. All of a sudden I realized I don't know anything. Like I know nothing. And the thing is, I knew I could feel him knowing that I didn't know how to take care of him. Like I was like, I don't know what to do with a child that cries all the time. You know, I don't know how to handle that situation. I don't know what to do with a child that won't stay in his room when he's old enough to toddle out. Like, how do you handle that? You know, when you want to like be done for the day and your project won't go to sleep, you know, like I'm done with that. I'm finished. Carrie is finished. Carrie needs rest. And this child project is not done yet. Like he wants to keep interacting. So it's like all of these things, I'm not prepared for that at the first child at all. And I admit like, and then my body, you know, this is another piece is like, our bodies are a repository for so much, like our ancestral healing, our childhood experience, traumas that got repressed, things that happened in our lives. It's not done. You know, it got stored in the body until it's healed and released. It's still in there. And although I was going to psychotherapy, I was not working in an embodied way because that was a new concept for me back then. We didn't know that stuff. At least I didn't. So I thought I was processing everything. I thought I was understanding things, but I wasn't totally ignoring my body. So when I had the baby, my physiology took over and released like all kinds of trauma from my childhood was releasing all left and right. I was having postpartum depression. I was seeing a huge hole in the middle of the bathroom floor. Like I'm not on any drugs and I'm seeing a hole in the middle of the floor. What's going on? Like I'm going psychotic or something. And so I got extra help and I was in another postpartum group. So I'm like extra psychotherapy. So, I mean, I think that we're not prepared for that. So in the middle of, you know, certainly not planned for me to lose myself, like lose my crap right when I had a baby. Here's this defenseless little child who needs support and love and kindness from someone hopefully grounded and present and able to provide it. But my life's in chaos. I'm a mess. So I think that happens to a lot of women because nobody, you know, there's really hard to explain to you what's going to happen. And the truth of the matter is, because it's different for every person. We don't know what's going to happen for you when you pop that baby out. You know, you might just lose your crap, you know?
Well, that, and I'm thinking back to the ancient times where there were other women, grannies and aunties and things like that, closer more often. They weren't isolated in separate homes in suburbia, et cetera, et cetera. We need to take a quick commercial break. When Carrie and I get together, we could just talk for hours, but my clock says that if I don't, the producer's going to get mad. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Carrie Hummingbird. She's a soul guide and host of the Soul Nectar Show. And we're talking about her latest book. She's an award-winning author with her previous books. And her new book is called Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound. And we're talking about, we're just sharing personal stories. But Carrie, I want to get into the nitty gritty here. You've thrown some words about that some people might not understand. So you said we need to embody this, as well as I want to talk deeper into the part of the powerful part of the book. Book's great, awesome. And I think the part that I really want to focus on is self-love, self-worth. This isn't about blaming mom, pointing fingers. And so let's talk a little bit about some tips and tricks for us to really get to the root of the problem.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So the first thing is to realize that, and this is fun because when I was 48 years old, was I 48 when I realized this or 44, something like that? I realized I went to this training and, for the Four Winds Light Body School. And Alberto Vialdo was the teacher, and he sat in front of the classroom, and the room is filled up with like 75 adults who are all like 50s, 60s, something like that, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And he looks out to us and he says, everybody in this room has mommy daddy issues. We're all like, I'm instantly offended. Like, what are you talking about? I'm adult. I'm a parent myself. Like, screw you, you know, but it's so true. And he said, okay, do you want to know how to heal that? We're like, yes, because now we have to admit it. Yes, we do have mommy, daddy issues. And yeah, we want to heal. He said, well, the way to heal is to realize that you're a soul in a body and that you chose your parents for the life lessons that would be set up by embodying, by becoming an incarnated human being in their ancestral lineage and with the conditions of that pairing, of that marriage, of that mother-father relationship. You chose that for your growth. So I have explored that ever since that moment, and it has turned out to be liberating for me. And so this is one of the teachings that I have in my book, is about if you can realize the cosmic setup that you set yourself up with as a soul to come in this lifetime and embody these frequencies, these patterns, these dynamics, and that you came to work through it, even knowing at some level that there would be a divorce, or knowing at some level that your parent would be totally not available to you for some reason, you know, mental health challenges or something else. You chose it. Now there's not a blaming anymore.
Other than myself, I will, well, then I'm going to choose better next time, or I'm going to choose different.
Yeah, screw those people. They really sucked. That was a terrible curriculum. Why did I pick that?
Yeah, exactly. What was I thinking?
But because there's gold in it. So there's so much gold in it. This is one of the reasons why I love the Gene Keys, because the Gene Keys really works with this idea of there's lessons we came in to learn and embody. There's like lessons and states of beings that we came in to learn how to acquire. So like one of my states of being would be integrity is a path that I walk. It's a path of integrity. So we come in to embody these states of beings. Well, there's a shadow frequency. So the shadow of integrity is actually judgment. So I have this as one of my gene keys. So I've been super judgmental in my life. Like I've judged myself. I've judged others. I've been really critical. This is just part of how I got set up through my dynamics of my birth and my conditions of my growing up. It gave me that environment that I would stew in judgment, that I would stew in that space, and that I would have to learn how to bring myself out of judgment with discernment into integrity. And integrity is a gritty space. Like, I like that you said, let's get into the grit. Well, the grit is integrity. So how do we get into integrity is that we admit the truth to ourselves. Like we admit that this is what's happening, and we want to move ourselves into a state of perfection. Like I'm moving into perfection. That's what I want to get to ultimately, is this idea of perfection. But perfection is a concept in itself that is already perfect. So you hear a lot of spiritual people say it's already perfect just the way it is. And it rubs you the wrong way because you're like, wait a second, it's not perfect. I don't like it. It's not perfect, but it is perfect because it's leading you to a greater perfection of whatever it is you're learning. So it's not perfect and it's perfect at the same time. So like, it's not perfect that you had an autoimmune disease, Sharon, right? Like that's not perfect.
Right.
And yet it is perfect because of that challenge, you've learned tremendous gold in the unveiling of that challenge. So it is actually perfect that you were on that path to receive that. And in the unfolding of that autoimmune challenge, you've been able to perfect the other things you came here to learn about. So that's like, our mothers are perfect for us. There is no more perfect mother for me than my mother, because one of my main lessons was to learn how to trust myself, to trust myself and trust my own wisdom and know that I'm not crazy. Now, so how did my mom set me up for that? By basically saying I'm crazy, by being rational and logical in a completely different reality that made me look and feel like I must be nuts. But I'm not nuts. I had to embrace that. I had to go through this period of feeling like I'm insane and keep moving through that to understand my inner workings, to come to a place where now I'm in my wisdom. I know my wisdom now. And not only do I know my wisdom, but I can see my mother without my projections, because I've worked on releasing so much of that. I wouldn't say there's no more left, because I'm sure there are. I would be lying to myself. But the level of clarity that I have when I see who she is now is so profound. It's like I can appreciate her for being the catalyst for all this growth in my life. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm thinking of, just beyond moms, how we can do this with anyone in our life, siblings, our dad, you know, and our spouse, whatever's going on right now, what are we projecting that's really coming from us and is not what they are about? I'm thinking how many times I've said to other people, like, well, that's not what I meant, or that's not what I was doing, or, you know, something like that. And I also appreciate where you say about your mother and you being very different, and there's almost a reflection or a mirror image of each other on that, because oftentimes that's where it is poked or tapped or prickled the most, is when there's that opposite, that when you're confronted by something that's very opposite of you. I know a couple of people that I've met who don't believe like in, oh, Sharon, you can't feel your energy, or, you know, they just don't believe in some of the things I believe in. And yet I know that learning all of that has what's helped me heal my body and optimize my physical being, as well as my mental, emotional, and spiritual being. That the part of healing from autoimmune is just not the physical body. You got to slog through the mental, emotional, and spiritual part too, to really come out the other side.
Yeah, and that's a knowing that you have because you walked it and you embodied it. Talking about the embodiment piece and what that means. It means lived teachings. It means wisdom is earned from what you lived and you went through. And because you lived it and you went through it and you explored it and you uncovered it and you revealed it, you know it to be true for yourself. You know it's true. You didn't need a book to tell you. Right. You feel it. You experienced it. You know it. That is powerful, to be in a position of your knowing. And we're moving in this direction. So that's why healing the mother wound is important, because a lot of people have been conditioned and have gotten the training that they should be afraid of anything that's not explained to them in a structured space and with a book. You know, if it's not in a book, or it's not from a credentialed university, or it's not, you know, from a sanctioned religion or something like that, then it can't be true.
Right.
Right.
Well, and I think the problem comes in that we start questioning our own sanity. Sometimes you just know it's true. You know, something's true about yourself. You know, something's true. I'm going to relate back to the autoimmune. A couple of times I got fired by my doctors when I said, no, I don't think that's going to work for me. Like, well, then you need to find other help. And I'm like, yes, I do. Thank you very much for pointing that out. But it's understanding, not only uncovering these truths for yourself, but being, knowing them and being okay when other people confront you about that truth.
Exactly. And so, and that's another part of the mother wound we're moving out of, is the conformity, like the control through conformity, and then the fear of not conforming. And we're moving out of that, and we're moving into an appreciation of the diversity of the lived experience, and how 500 things can be true at the same time, even though they're different from each other. Why? Because there's 500 different people and they're all having a lived experience that's different from each other. And so it's true in one person's body and not true in 499. It still doesn't make it any less true. It's true in that person's lived experience. It doesn't have to be true for me to know that it's true for you. You know, and that's that respect.
People, I wish more people could, because part of me goes, yeah, that's so true, Carrie. And then the little thing on my shoulder whispers in my ear, yes, and so many people are trying to change your truth to their truth. I mean, you know, like indoctrinate you into their truth because their truth is truer than your truth.
And that's why I love the teaching that came out in the Second Wave book. From White Eagle, which was, because I was asking this question, I'm like, with so many people trying to control each other and change each other and afraid of each other, like, you want me to go talk about love and diversity as if the people are going to embrace that? Like, how the heck am I going to do that? I said, make it simple, please, because I need simple. And which is another one of my gene keys, by the way. So it's kind of funny. You know, I didn't even know that was my gene key before when I said that. So the message I got was, look at your thumb. And I was like, okay, I look at my thumb.
Okay, I'm looking at my thumb.
He's like, that's a unique thumbprint, right? You already know it. They've proved it scientifically.
Yes.
It's unique. There's no other thumbprint like that alive on the planet today, and never will be and never has been. That's your key. It's right on your body. The divine makes it simple. It's on your body. You're unique. It's like a thumbprint suit, you know, and you just slid into this thumbprint suit with this unique life journey that nobody else has ever had and nobody else will ever have, because you're unique. You're living in a unique time. You're born to unique parents with their own unique configurations. You are a unique person making unique decisions. This life path you chose has all these millions of decisions that led you to this moment. So how could you ever believe that you're anything but a unique creature right now, right here in your body? You can't be other than that. And nobody's ever going to get you completely 100% because of that, because they're also unique. So we have, like, you know, if we're like had a Venn diagram and we're overlapped, like if you're overlapped a lot, well, that's kind of comforting, right? But you're never all the way. Even twins aren't all the way.
Right.
Even twins are different and unique. That's the proof right there. So if we're so unique, why are we trying to conform each other to some false standard? We can't. It's a lie.
Great question. We need to take a quick commercial break. We'll leave it there for us to ponder that, because that's a great question. Why are we trying to conform others? We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Everyone to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're just having a great old time with Carrie Hummingbird. She's a dear friend of mine, and she's the soul guide and host of the Soul Nectar Show. She's the international bestseller author of The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama. She's also an award-winning author of Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love. And now her book just released, Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound, and it describes the most direct path to spiritual enlightenment and to healing a lot of those wounds, getting to know yourself, and talking about self-love. And your book really focuses on me, if I can distill it down, into shifting into gentleness, no judgment, acceptance, understanding. And in there you describe, and it's like, love is strong and fierce and soft and kind all at the same time. And that's not a contradiction, and that's okay.
So it's not a contradiction. Yeah.
Although it sounds like one.
It sounds like it, but it's more spacious. I guess spacious is a good word.
Spacious is a great word.
Because we have to, you know, it's kind of like we were saying on the last segment. It's like, why do people try to control each other? Mostly because of the fear of not being safe, right? So mm-hmm. If we have a fear that we're not safe, if somebody is different than us, and then somehow that's going to challenge what we believe or what we know is true because they're saying it, because they're going to override our knowing somehow. So what if we just switch perspectives on that and we said, well, okay, there's 8 billion different realities happening concurrently on the planet, all at the same time. They're all equally valid. We intersect with each other every so often. When that intersection happens, there's a feeling of interment, you know, like perturbation, like, oh, you know, this is different than mine, this reality. Like if it's really opposite, right? There's that feeling of perturbation, like, oh, this reality is really different than reality I'm experiencing. This is so interesting. And instead of making that a problem that there's perturbation, just making it an awareness and a recognition that there's like, 2 separate things happening that are really different, like polarities, and they're happening in the same space for a moment, and they're both fine as they are, and there's like an alchemy happening as they meet. And the alchemy can actually be quite an interesting thing because it can create something new in the alchemy of the two opposites. So we're in that process now, and rather than try to change each thing to conform to the other so that we don't have to feel that perturbation because we just don't like the feeling of it, what if we embraced it and said, wow, like this is sort of like the pearl being formed in the oyster. The grittiness mm-hmm. is creating the pearl. And so when we feel that grittiness, maybe now we can go, oh, wow, there's grittiness. So then instead of reacting to the grittiness to make it stop or to conform the other person or to project or to blame or to get angry about it or anything like that, we can just relax into the sensation of the grit and the refinement happening. And we can be in wonder and curiosity about what's being formed by the combination of us. I'm okay the way I am. You're okay the way you are. There's something happening in the meeting of our energies that's really interesting. And we're both going to learn something from it. And I wonder what that is.
And
that's
more
interesting.
Yeah, I think it's completely interesting. And one thing I wanted to throw out is sometimes the grittiness is a little too gritty. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm, you know, all of that. So I have a file in my mental file folder that says, isn't that interesting? And I'll put some of those check marks into that file folder. And what happens to me then is all of a sudden, I let it go when it's in that file folder, and it can be a little bit later with that same person or tomorrow with someone else, the answer will appear, or a way to combine the grittiness or accept the grittiness or let it go or whatever it is appears. So sometimes you don't have to figure it out in the moment with the person, that just by, that's interesting. I wonder what that means.
I like the file folder idea. And, you know, I'm a feeler. I feel everything. I'm a feeler processor. And what I notice is that sometimes if it feels like the energy is being projected at me, then that feels really uncomfortable, right? Because it feels like I'm being attacked. Mm-hmm. It's like coming at me. So I've learned to feel when that's happening. Let the thing be there. Like, let the energy be present. Like, I'm not going to try to erase the energy. I'm just going to let it be whatever the hanging in the, you know, the fog, like thick as pea soup, like Scooby-Doo, you know, and he's like, it's thick as pea soup. And he's like, you know, and takes a piece out, but I just kind of move around. So now I'm working on bringing myself closer to the person that projected the energy so that we could stand together and then look at the energy and go, wow, isn't that interesting? From the same place, mm-hmm. like as allies. So we're allies. And then here's the energy. Maybe it's a pattern. Maybe it's, you know, something that's running through the collective. Maybe it's like something in our family system. Maybe it's jealousy or who knows what it is, right? It's some kind of pattern of some kind. And we don't have to take it personally. It's a separate thing from us as beings. It's a separate thing. And we're both experiencing.
Yeah, that's what's so beautiful about the observer role is you remove yourself from a lot of the, I'll say, the emotion of it. You're able to step aside and go, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and not take it personally. And by not taking it personally, it's not attacking me. See? So like, if I don't take your difference, you and I are different beings, I can let you be just the way you are, probably because I delight in you. But, you know, if I didn't, even still, I could let you be just the way you are. I can be just the way I am. And then notice if this patterns emerge or this perturbation or there's some pattern I notice, something happening, I can just let that be there too. And then go, oh, that's a pattern. Now, if I'm not taking it personally, I don't feel attacked. And if I don't feel attacked, I don't feel the need to change you.
I have a mentor who shares with me. I want to share it because I love it. I, like you, I'm kinesthetic, and I love this idea of little anchors. And a longtime mentor always talks about the carrying a Q-tip. And I know that's a brand name, but everybody knows what it means. But he always says the Q is for quit, the T is for taking, the I is for it, and the P is for personal. So you carry a little Q-tip around with you, and it always reminds you, that just the visual of it, oh, do I need to quit taking it personally? And after a while, you know, you either put it in your pocket or your purse or something. After a while, you don't need the little visual reminder anymore. But it was a great way to learn boundaries and not to take things personally, was having that visual reminder.
And it's, you know, the extrapolation of not taking it personally is not taking it personally what your mom thinks about you, right? Or who she thinks you are. Because that's one of the main like friction points between mothers and daughters or mothers and sons is like, oh, you're telling me who I am and I'm not that person. You think I'm this way, but I'm actually this way. And I want you to see me who as I really am. But how can they see you as you really are when they've got this whole filter up from like built up over your whole lifetime of seeing you a certain way and telling stories about you and, you know, all of this. So it's like, don't take it personally. Let, you know, now I just let my mom, like if my mom is, whenever she's seeing me, I notice moments when she's seeing me and I'm seeing her and authentic, like it's more authentic than it ever has been. And that's just so joyful. And if I see her seeing me as the old me, I'm just like, oh, she's seeing me, the construction that she made of who I am. And that's cool too. She can have it. I'm not going to take it away. You know, it'd be like taking her child from her, you know, like, but it's not who I am. And it's okay that she has it too. Like, cause I don't take it personally. She's not, she can't put anything on me and I can't put anything on her that doesn't belong.
Well, I think it's true though. We all have stories about who we think other people are. How many times do you meet someone and, oh, you know, you fall in love instantly or something? It's because you put a story on them. You don't know them. You've put some story on the physique or something, the voice pattern, whatever. And all of a sudden that prince or princess has emerged right before your eyes. Yet all that is a story that you're projecting on someone. So
yeah. And then like at the it turns midnight and there's a frog. You're like, where'd this frog come from? I didn't see. I like to call that rose-colored glasses. I had a lot of rose-colored glasses. I still like we were talking about it earlier. I work with that in my life. I'm aware that that's a pattern in my brain for how to cope with things that are uncomfortable. Is that I have these rose-colored glasses, and those come on, and they make it look better, so that I don't have to deal with the discomfort. So anytime I notice the rose-colored glasses, I'm like, oh, the rose-colored glasses are on. Cool. What am I uncomfortable about? Like, what needs? What do I need to see now that is happening?
Well, that, and always having friends such as yourself around who point out, you got your glasses on, girl.
Yeah, I got some rose-colored glasses on right now. Let's talk about, you know, what actually happened, which I love what you did too, because you're like, wait a second, that's not what I heard. I was with you. I heard what you were actually saying. So there's also like changing the story, Sharon. You know, it's like I realized in this process of healing that because I had built up all these stories in my mind, it created an image of who my mom was that I couldn't even see the actual woman that was my mom, right? Like you're talking about your children, that is hard for them to see like what all these other people experienced of you. And they're like, I don't know that about you.
Interesting thing to think about that though is how many times that we think that about ourselves. Are we locked in our own old stories?
Yes.
You're just walking through the grocery store or something and all of a sudden some feeling emerges and you're like, where'd that come from? And you like, realize, oh my gosh, that was eighth grade. What am I doing?
Yeah, like these things surface, right? Like, because we're complex beings. We're not static. We're complex. And we have this huge subconscious, the terrain that is uncharted. And it can come up at any moment and surprise us with some information. But that's even part of the journey. Like, that's part of the unfolding I'm talking about. Like, the unfolding of our life's experiences. And it's a very shallow perspective to say that, oh, the past is done and it's done and I'm just written it off, because actually at some point your body will teach you something else, which is that the past is not just the past. It's actually an evolution. Like it's happening through you right now. So even our ancestors, it's not done. Like we're still experiencing the traumas and the experiences and the joys and the delights of our ancestors because they're part of our very bodies. So this is like an invitation. It's an invitation to see what story have I been telling that's so part of the fabric of my life and my consciousness that I just tell it like without even thinking about it. It's like driving a car. Like before you know it, I'm at the end destination. I don't even know how I got there. So like what story about yourself? Like if you met somebody brand new and you never met them before and you were going to tell the story of your life, what story are you going to tell? Because how you tell the story of you actually ends up creating the life and the perception of you by other people. That's their perception of you, and also your actual life experiences. It actually calls it to you. So when I started realizing that in the process of healing, there were very tense moments with my mentors. Let me just be clear. The really uncomfortable, tense moments of real anger and real like, but that's exactly how it was. And I'm not going to go back on that and lie to myself. That's exactly what she did. And she did this and she did that. And this happened. And this is how it made me feel. And, you know, it happened. I'm not going to deny it and lie to myself. And there was a way in which forgiving in the sense of embodying the feelings, letting the feelings express, be present with that. And then ask myself, I've been heard. I have been heard. I have heard myself. Now what? Do I want to keep that story? Or do I want to open to the potential that something new could happen? Like anytime I caught myself saying, I always, or she never, those were opportunities right there to bust that myth. Because people change moment to moment. The faces we can present to each other change moment to moment. There's so much richness that to say always and never is untrue. So I like eliminate those words. And when I see them come up, I go, oh, wait a second. There's a potential and I'm willing to experience a potential. For example, I'm willing to experience a potential where my mom and I have a new foundation of love in our relationship that allows us to be mutually respectful of each other's journeys. I'm willing for that. And I started saying things like that to myself. I know what I've experienced up until now. I'm not denying that. And I'm willing for a new potential. Of all the infinite potentials inside of me and all the infinite potentials inside of my mother and her subconscious and my subconscious, I'm willing for the pieces to come forward in a match for peace. I'm willing for that. Mm. And that's what I'm experiencing right now.
I think that's awesome. We're down just to the last couple of minutes, Carrie, when you and I get together, because I would have loved to carry that line of thought, not just into our mother, but our father, our spouses, our people in our community, the greater world, because I think that same line of conscious thought, conscious potential creation will work in any situation. So thank you for sharing that. But we're down to just the last couple of minutes. Please share any final thoughts that you have, as well as where we can find out more about you and your wonderful new book, Love is Fierce.
Well, if you really like this conversation and you want more conversations like this, I've pulled together 17 amazing people to have conversations with me about these topics. And it's part of a summit that was run in January. And you can still access the interviews. So the interviews are available at motherwoundbook.com. And also you can order a copy of my book from there too. And they'll receive all those interviews. So they're potent, like mind expanding conversations. And my intention behind this summit and ongoing creating community conversations is to ripple out these kinds of conversations into our families and into our relationships so that we can transform the way we've been relating with each other and we can have a new outcome.
Oh, I know. I've listened to some of them. One of my favorites is Dr. Shant Barron.
Yes.
We are a sponsor of her Project Forgive nonprofit here at Autoimmune Hour. And that was awesome, as well as Jennifer Huff. Oh, I could go on and on, but 17 awesome people that you've collected for that interview series. So everyone, this is Carrie Hummingbird. Her new book, go out and get it, Love is Fierce, Healing the Mother Wound. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.